Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
There's a place for the baby that died, and there's a time for the mother who cried. She will hold him in her arms sometime, 'cause 9 months is too long, too long, too long.
For the last few minutes of the program, we're going to be talking with Pastor Christopher Eskett of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. He spent this afternoon in Washington, D.C. at the March for Life. This has become something by which pro-lifers in America mark the anniversary, the sad anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which of course was Saturday, the 22nd of January, 38 years of legalized abortion. They march for life. The pro-life movement, one of our recent guests said, probably wouldn't even have gotten started the way it was had Roe v. Wade not been decided the way it was and foisted on the American people over against the passage of ordinary laws regarding abortion. But people march today. They march in defense of the unborn. They march so that our politicians might understand that the voice that defends the unborn is not silent politically. We'll get a review of today's March for Life in our nation's capital. Pastor Christopher Eskett is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. Good to be on.
Many would say that abortion is a political issue, not a theological issue. Why did you, the pastor, participate in today's March for Life?
Well, it is a political issue, but it runs much deeper than that. All of our, when dealing with a political issue like, say, tax policy or something, I don't think the church really should have much to say about that at all. But we're dealing here with the fundamental right to human life. I think this is the civil rights issue of our day. And, I guess maybe the best way to put it is the Old Testament reading that we had at our service at Emmanuel this morning dealt with the Hebrew midwives disobeying Pharaoh's orders to slaughter the Hebrew boys. And this is what we're trying to stand up for as well, that the slaughter of the innocents is taking place among us, and it needs to stop.
Tell us about today's March for Life in D.C.
It was the March for Life was preceded. A lot of Lutherans gather at our church in Alexandria, which is just outside of D.C., for a service, and then we have a brunch here. And then we head down, and there are a lot of speeches. A lot of the politicians get up and address the crowd, and so there's a lot of standing around, and it gets very cold. But the enthusiasm of the group is just phenomenal. It's difficult for me to estimate how many people were there. The park police doesn't give estimates anymore, but it certainly numbers in the tens of thousands. I go down to D.C. To the mall for other kinds of events like the 4th of July, the fireworks. That's a hugely attended event. So when we try to compare it to that, there are easily more people there for this. And it's largely the Roman Catholics have a huge presence. There's just an enormous presence of Roman Catholic school groups and groups representing dioceses from all over the country, university groups, and so forth. And so our little band of Lutherans for Life gets out there and joins them. And some of the groups it's all very, very peaceful. Most of the groups have some kind of banner or sign to indicate who they are. And a few of them bring musical instruments, almost kind of like a marching band sort of atmosphere. And we march from the mall up to the Supreme Court, and that's where it ends.
Why, you mentioned this just a moment ago, but why do you begin the March for Life events every year with a worship service hosted at your congregation in Alexandria?
Well, I think it gets at kind of what you began asking me about, the political aspect of it. The first few times I participated in the March for Life, I came away kind of with an empty feeling, because it is more of a political kind of statement, and a lot of people try to turn it into a religious event. And for me, in my mind, I kind of separate the two, that we gather at the church to pray to hear the word of God, to encourage one another. We usually take an offering that we give to, this year we, our offering is for Lutherans for Life, but, last year we gave to, Lutheran World Relief and Human Care, or LCMS World Relief rather. So to kind of separate the two, that we gather here for prayer and for worship and to ask God to end the scourge of abortion, and then make sort of a public witness or statement by participating in the march.
As you were out there on the Mall and then on your way to the Supreme Court today, how did the general demographic of the marchers strike you in terms of age, in terms of the division of male and female? What was your general impression, Pastor Eskett?
It is overwhelmingly young, and an awful lot of young people are carrying signs to say things like, you know, we are the pro-life generation. I can't describe to you the effect it has on seeing how many young people are out there. And some of them are with school groups, but it's not, you might think that, well, they've been hauled out there by their schools, but they are not. They're chanting, they are singing, they are vigorously pro-life. As far as the difference between male and female, I don't really notice that it's more one or the other. I think it's just, you know, generally what you would expect in any kind of group.
Pastor Christopher Eskett is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. He joined us to talk about the March for Life held on this day in our nation's capital. Christopher, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Crusades with Dr. Matt Phillips. We'll be talking about the Second Crusade and how it differed from the first, how by that time, as he just told us a few moments ago, Crusades almost became kind of the thing to do, a tradition. We mark these sad anniversaries, like the March for Life, 38 years of legalized abortion, always in prayer to our God. We know that marches cannot stop a bad decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. Politics has proven remarkably impotent against something like abortion. How deeply it has taken root in the mind and the thinking and the life of our nation and many other nations as well. Such evil practices have a way of dulling our senses, our conscience, destroying the conscience of many. And so we see that the natural state of our nation, of us as a people, is not to defend life. We speak highly of ourselves. We like to watch the flag hoisted and like to hear the Pledge of Allegiance said and the national anthem sung at famous football games. But the reality of our nation at this point is one that still is struggling against the protection of life. It is a nation that is still deeply, deeply affected by a bad court decision long ago and by all the unnecessary deaths. Yes, we continue to pray, for only God can remove the scourge of abortion. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.